Al, what'd you ever do with your big playing thing? It's been a while since we've had a sharing time, and well, look, y'all did quiet right down. Amazing. So we're so pleased to have Sam and Olivia here. I walked in the room and saw the TV already going. I said, this is a great guy. I didn't even have to do anything. So, Sam, no further ado, I'll just turn it over to you. Take it away.
So this is a slideshow that just kind of shows kind of our day-to-day and just Senegalese life. We were in Virginia for 6 years before the Lord called us to Dakar, Senegal. We serve at a private Christian school, Dakar Academy. It's been in existence for over 60 years. And we have about 300 students, K through 12, at DA that we serve. My primary role there is student chaplain by day and then youth pastor by night. It's kind of how I describe myself. So during the day, I'm out and amongst all the students, K through 12, PE classes, hallways, recess, lunch, breaks. Just if you're not among them, you don't know them. That's my way of thinking. And I always try to have as many touch points with our students as possible. Because you never know what a student might be going through, and you can read body language, mannerisms, all those kind of things by being among them. And so that's my primary role, the spiritual component of our school. I'm responsible for chapels, K through 12, so we have an elementary chapel, middle school, and high school chapel. I'm also responsible for a youth group that meets on campus. So we meet every other Thursday throughout the school year. We have large group one Thursday, and then 6th through 12th grade meets in small groups split by gender and grade. So that's another really strong component of what I'm responsible for. I'm also responsible for the high school retreat, which is an annual retreat, and the middle school retreat, which is another annual retreat that we take. I'm also responsible for spiritual emphasis week. So 1 week a year, we have chapel every single day. So instead of just having chapel on Friday for middle and high school, we actually have chapel every single day. And it's just an extra week where we get to kind of really center our hearts and our minds around God. And we have a guest speaker that usually comes over and fills in during that week. I'm also responsible for all the service and outreach opportunities that our students are involved in. And that's one of the things I most enjoy about my job, because it gets me outside the walls of our school. And so we have 2 service days, just it's a day trip, and then we have a 3rd service trip, and that's for 9th, 10th, 11th, and 12th, and they go on overnight service experience trips. So I network and coordinate and plan all those trips out for our students to then be able to go to. If you guys have any questions, by the way, as I'm sharing any of these things, just shoot your hand up. And then
K through 12 school?
K through 12 school, yeah. There's 280 students, K through 12, about 120 in the high school, about 60-ish in middle school, and the rest is elementary.
Is it an international school?
Yes. So we have over 45 countries represented at DA. One of the benchmarks that we try to hit in the high school area is a minimum of 70% missionary families. So we can't create an excess of other families over 70%. So again, it's a missionary school. It's made to minister to missionaries in that area. There's also a boarding school on our campus. So if your family lives far away from Dakar, which is the capital of Senegal, your children can be in the boarding, and they start in middle school up. They can be in the boarding program. We have guys and girls in dorms and things like that. We also have another school called the West Campus. So we're at Central. That's the oldest one. West Campus opened 3 years ago, and that's on the other side of the city. And that is a K through 8 school only, and it will only be K through 8, and that has about 120 students. That demographic is very different than our demographic. Ours is a lot of missionary families, missionary community. That one is a lot of business kids, like NGOs, different companies that come with families with children. It's a very different demographic than what we're doing. And then we also opened up another school about an hour outside the city called DA South. So now we have 3 campuses, Central, West, and South. And then we also have these things called co-ops. So let's say a couple families move out to Liberia, like the Hovens and us and another family, the Fredericks, for example. There's a lot of kids in those families. We have three, they have two, they have four. It's really far to go from Liberia to Senegal. So what we do is we send you a teacher. So the teacher now lives in that with those families, and they do type kind of like a one-room schoolhouse for those families. And one of those, for example, in Liberia, I think, they have it right next to a hospital. So we're seeing a lot more people being able to come to work at the hospital because now their kids have a place and a person that can meet the academic needs of those of the children. So that's kind of a flyover of what we do, of what we've been called to do. We were there for 2 years. This is our first time back as a family since we left. And our hope and prayer is that we will return at the end of this month for another 2 year stint and then come back to the States and kind of close the chapter for the time being. So that is my role. My wife now serves as the admissions coordinator for all three campuses. So if any families apply to our school, she now processes those families through the checks and kind of documents that they need to come through, be filtered through for the other schools. So that's a little bit of kind of what we're involved with. I don't know if you want to share some other things about what we do or life in Senegal.
Sure.
Share.
I'll stand up there if there's any questions.
So it's hard to describe Senegal. There's like 3 million, almost 4 million people in a very small space. So it's very crowded. We don't leave and drive anywhere during the week because traffic is crazy. It's just not even worth going out anywhere during the week. So the only day we go grocery shopping usually is Sundays after church. Because Sundays, there's less traffic. Senegal is also 98% Muslim. And that's one of the main reasons that we want to be in Senegal is because we are allowing for the missionary families to be able to know that their kids are being well taken care of, that they're receiving a great education, but not only that, but they're also spiritually being nourished and equipped. I always tell my kids, I don't necessarily, like, I say my kids, like my students, and my kids, I guess, too, but like, I don't necessarily want like great kids at DA. What I'm preparing you for is life after DA, that you can go and live the life that God's called you to live, that you're equipped and prepared for that life. And I was talking to somebody, but I mentioned where the church is silent, the world is screaming. And there's a lot of areas that the church isn't shepherding our young people well. And that's where I think we come in and we close that gap. And so number one, it's the Word of God. And that's something that I really emphasize with our young people. I'm going to come and go, but the Word of God will not. So if I can equip you and train you to really study and know God's Word, you're going to be in a good place. And then the aspect of community. We don't do the Christian life alone. Don't isolate yourself. Don't kind of get sucked into that idea that it's all about who you are and who you want to become. But live that life in community with others. So it's been a really good experience for us so far. It's had its challenges. We don't speak French. That's the national language. So outside of the walls, it's a bit tricky for us. I don't speak French, and neither does she.
You had a picture of you preaching at a French worship service.
Yes. So, yeah. That was an opportunity that came through one of the guards at our school. So I started meeting with him on a weekly basis and having a Bible study with him. And he's actually a worship pastor and a youth pastor in his Senegalese church. And he invited me for their worship concert night and said, would you mind giving like a 10-minute message that night? And so they had all their songs in Wolof, which is the other native tongue they speak, and French. And then someone translated the message that I gave. So that was one of those incredible opportunities that God's just given us to be able to minister, not only to DA, but outside the walls. And Marco, he works as a guard at our school, but he really wanted to go to seminary. And to go to seminary in Senegal, you can't have a job and be in seminary. So unless your church or your family can afford to send you, it's really hard for people to go to seminary. So then I was like, well, let's just meet together and study the Bible. And so I've been able to kind of come alongside of him and teach him some basic Bible study skills and things like that. I remind our family that we serve at DA, but we live in Senegal. And that's at the back of our mind, is that our time is at DA, but we're also in Senegal. And so we want our kids, we want our family to experience life in Senegal. You have to be really intentional with that, because we don't know the language, we don't know the culture, we don't know the way of life, but we also want to be reminded of why we're there. And so we want to have interactions with Senegalese. We've been blessed to have some really good Senegalese friends and experience life in the village and things like that.
Can you share about Angry Bread Guy?
Yeah, so when we first moved there, at the end of our street, there was a little boutique. Boutique is where you can go buy basically anything you would need for that day.
Laundry detergent, eggs, oil, batteries.
Tons of trinkets, bread, whatever you would need. It's like a very small, tiny grocery store. And I would go there, and I don't speak the language, but this guy would always greet me very, like, aggressively. Like, what do you want? Kind of like, oh, you're, like, here again. And I would just buy bread. Yeah. What's going on with you? And so we nicknamed him the Angry Bread Guy. He was just, like, an angry... Yeah, that's where we got our bread from, and we're like, that's the Angry Bread Guy. Well, months kind of...
I don't speak your language.
Months went by, and I ended up befriending him, and I would spend a couple hours every night in his boutique with him, just drinking tea with him, and we ended up having, like, our own dialect that we could communicate with, and my wife would be like, where have you been? I was like, I was with Jalo, and she's like, what were you guys talking about? I was like, oh, we talk about politics, we talk about this and that. She's like, how are you talking to him? So the last 2 years, we've befriended him, and he became a really close friend of mine, and it just comes from spending time with them. And it's, again, it's a bit of a sacrifice, but whenever he'd see our kids walk by, he'd give them a candy, and he'd be... And so it was one of those moments where, at first, it started a certain way, but now... Well, we're really close friends. He messages me on WhatsApp and like, hey, how's your time in the States going?
A lot of spiritual conversations with him as well.
Yeah.
You kind of challenged him because it's a Muslim culture. You pay, it's also very animistic there. You pay for curses to be put on people. People wear charms around usually their waist, or babies have like a little thing that they have like that they keep stuff in, and it's to ward off evil spirits. And so if you have something against someone, you can pay an imam to put a curse on that person.
A witch doctor.
And so Sam kind of challenged him, like, well, what if you put a curse on me, but then I buy, you know, pay for to have a curse, you know. Kind of like showing, like, where things kind of fall apart. Like, how do you get to decide who's more powerful than the other? And he kind of came to one point, he's like, okay, but for real, why are you here?
Yeah, that's always a question, like, you know, why is it that you're here? And so we have those opportunities, but it takes time to really get to that point. Another friend of ours is Usman, that's the egg guy,
Yes. That's
the mattress guy. So that's a school wall right there, and we'll just see mattresses like going by the top. We're like, oh, there's the mattress guy. It's like insane neck strength or something. But Usman, he's a young man that lives in our apartment building, and he's a tailor. And so he's become one of our close friends as well, and we've been able to have... we actually went to his village. So he invited us for one of their biggest Muslim holidays that they celebrate. And we went out to the village with them, and we've gone back a couple times since then just to spend time with them. And our guard at the in our apartment complex lives in the same village, and he didn't know we were coming. And so there was some language... barriers that happen, and I thought we were picking someone up, but he took us to where the guard lives, and when he saw our car drive around, his face like lit up. He could not believe that we were in his village. Like, he was just like so happy, and then they fed us again.
It was just really neat because as a guard, he's kind of in our space. We walk up and down, you know, next to him every day and going to and from school. And he's there to kind of make sure, yeah, no funny business happens. But for the first time, we were in his space.
Yeah.
And he lives 2.5 hours away. And that's, it's hard travel to go that far. It's not like here where you just hop on the highway and you're there. But it was really, really special. He got to host us.
Yep.
Where
yes, ma'am.
Where does he stay during the week?
Oh, so at the bottom stairs, like, is when you walk in, there's a cot, like a futon, and he just sleeps there.
Okay. Wow.
So that's where he lives. Like, he has all his belongings on one side of the wall. He's very horizontal a lot. It's kind of weird sometimes. Like, you just walk in and this man's just sleeping here. And like, you're a guard? Like, is what it is. So,
but it's a job there.
It is.
You know, like,
everything can be a job.
Yeah.
It's a very poor country. So imagine you go to the grocery store and you buy your sticks of butter. And you buy maybe a four. They come as a pack of four. People can't afford that. What they do is they'll go to the boutique and they'll buy like an inch of butter. They can't even afford the whole stick. And so they live meal to meal. That's how you live. That's your mentality. It's like, what do I need for breakfast? I can afford bread and maybe a scrambled egg I can put inside of it. And that's it.
Do they get paid every day too?
Yes. Yeah. But then anything can be a job. Like, I can clear this table and that can be a job. I can mop the floor. That can be a job. I can, you know, wash your cars while you're out in church. I can be washing cars. That can be a job. So anything that they see or that can maybe generate some money for them, they try to kind of come up with a way to survive because there's not a lot of substantial jobs. You had a question?
Did y'all pick this place to go to? Or you joined a group?
God picked it and we said yes. So I say kind of jokingly, but there's a website called Mission Next. And so I kind of say it's a missionary dating profile. Because what you do on Mission Next is you go on Mission Next and you click a bunch of checkboxes of where you want to go, what ministry you want to do, for how long, what part of the world you want to be in. I mean, it just does tons of questions. And then it matches you. It says, boom, it populates what areas or what schools or what ministries match really well with what you said. And Dakar Academy was 100% match. So we didn't know about Dakar Academy before we went on Mission Next. Like, we knew, we had been missionaries for 2 years before, like, as soon as we got married, we lived overseas for 2 years. I grew up as a missionary kid. She grew up in Florida. And so missions was already kind of in my DNA. It's in my blood. So we knew we wanted to go back to the mission field. We didn't know when and where. That was the next kind of mystery. And so we started praying about that. And option A was to go back to Nicaragua, because that's where I'm from. I know the language, the culture. There was a great opportunity for me there and a school there. The other one was like, let's do something together where we're both feeling like the water level is here. And a brand new experience for both of us. And that's kind of what drew us to DA. I also kind of, when I prayed about it, I wanted three things. I wanted to teach the Bible. I wanted to work with young people. But I didn't want to be in the classroom setting. I'd been a teacher for 2 years at Central Virginia Christian School in Dillwyn. I'd been a kindergarten teacher as well. So I wanted those things, but I didn't want that. We also wanted a great school for our kids, a good Christian community, and just a different place. And that's checked all those boxes. So Dakar Academy checked all of those things for us. And what I do is exactly those three things. I teach the Bible. I work with young people. But I'm not in the classroom. And I love that. So I got to sub for 2 weeks during one of our teachers went back to the States. His mother passed away. So I taught Bible for those 2 weeks. And I loved it. Because I didn't have the lesson plan. I could just come in and teach the Bible lessons and then leave and things like that. So, question?
I missed the beginning of the sharing, and I apologize if y'all spoke to this already. But two-part question. So
yeah.
Who runs and who built the school, the academy?
Yeah.
And then the second part of that is, if a local, like, is it, I understand there's like missionary kids, business people's children, but if there's like a local Senegalese Christian family that wants their child to have a Christian education, can they come to the school?
Yes. So to answer the last question, yes, they can. Most definitely they can come into our school. And there can be like financial scholarships and things like that to facilitate that for them to come into our school. So yes.
Is it English speaking?
Our school is English speaking. Okay. Yes. It's a K-12. The highest level of accreditation that a Christian school can have is through the ACSI, Association of Christian Schools International. And so that is kind of like Dillwyn, the school in Dillwyn is ACSI accredited. Your school maybe in Romania is ACSI accredited. So that's like the standard for Christian education across the U.S. and across the world. And we have kids that will be in a semester at DA, and they'll finish the second semester here in the States. It's that seamless of a transition. Our kids are taking AP classes. Our kids are coming to... We have two kids that graduated this year that are going to Liberty. And last year we had two other kids. So it's one of the advantages of being at our school that family sees, because they want their kids to be able to have a education in America, and so they send their kids to DA because they know they're going to get prepared for that. To answer the earlier question, there was about 6 or 8 mission organizations that got together and founded DA. And they're the ones that still have a voice on the board, and they're the ones that kind of run and kind of long-term plan for the school and things like that. So there's the IMB, United World Mission, the CMA, the Assemblies of God. Those are all some of the mission organizations. New Tribe Missions, or Ethnos 360, I think is what it's called now. They're also a part of it. And so they have their space on the board. There's a parent that also sits on the board. And they kind of, and that was a cool connection, because my dad served with UWM for over 30 years when he was a missionary in Nicaragua. And then we realized that there was connections at UWM at DA, because UWM was one of the founding mission organizations in Senegal. So that was pretty cool that we got to kind of see all these small world connections.
So yeah, it started in 1960 because there were already missionaries there, and they're like, wouldn't it be great if we could just send our kids, you know, to school somewhere? And like, so that's how it started. It started as a school for missionaries, and since grown.
You know, life is tricky. Life is hard outside of the walls. It's kind of how we describe it. Things just take more time. Going to the grocery store takes time. It takes mental preparation for you to get amped up to even go to the grocery store. And you're going to realize that you might go there and they won't have what you need. And now you have to go to a different grocery store. And so going on vacation is also just stressful. Like everything for us is just more challenging. It's not our home. We don't fit in. We always stand out. We're easy targets for the police. The police are not like what you would experience here. You actually pay your fine to the police officer when he pulls you over. That's their way of saying bribe. And that's a very common thing. But for us, it's very stressful. It's very anxious to be sitting, and you're at the mercy of this guy. And he says, if he's having a good day, you'll have a good day. If he's having a bad day, you're about to have a bad day. For no reason.
If there's a holiday coming up.
If there's a holiday, they need to be able to stop, like, kind of get some money going. So they'll do a lot of, like, stops and stuff like that.
They will pull you over. They'll stand in front of traffic and wave you over.
Yep.
And
I've gotten pulled over many times. I've paid my fair share of bribes. We have missionaries who refuse to pay bribes. That's just kind of how they do it. They have the language to do that. I don't. And I don't want to spend a night in Senegalese jail either.
Yeah.
So we had a friend who refused to pay the fine, so they took his license away. He was riding a motorcycle. And they said, come to the police precinct on such and such day and pick up and pay your fine, and you can pick up your license. When he went there, they arrested him and threw him in jail. And so he was
a missionary there for 20 years.
20-year missionary. He spoke the language. He spoke French and Wolof, which is the national, kind of like, that's the tribal language. If you speak Wolof, you're in. And this man was in with the culture and everything. Didn't care. They put him in jail. He ended up being kind of like vindicated in a way. But I don't want to go through that. So yeah. I will pay my fine to the police officer for the most crazy things. One day I was driving and I had an igloo, one of those orange igloos that you know you can see. We were going to the middle school retreat, so I had my igloo. A service trip, and I was driving, and one of our other chaperones, Jake, was with me in the front. And I didn't want the igloo to be just flying around in the back seat, so I put a seatbelt on it. So it's empty. It's like an empty igloo that I seatbelted to. We got pulled over, and he's like, papers, I give it to him. And then he's like looking in the car. He's like, that's not allowed. I'm like, what's not allowed? He's like, you can't have that igloo in the back. I'm like, there's goats on top of cars here. Like, and you're coming to me about an igloo in a seatbelt in the back of my car? Like, this is the safest situation we could possibly be thinking about right now. He's like, no, it has to be in your trunk. And I'm like, this car doesn't have a trunk. Like, it's a hatchback. Like, all right, sounds good. So anyways, I paid my fine. I had tinted windows. That's not allowed. So I got pulled for that. But anyways, it's just, we're easy targets for them, and they know it. So it comes with the territory. But that's why, like, it just, when you hit one of the main beaches, there's cops as soon as you hit that town, and they're right there. So for us to think, okay, let's go to the beach, we already in the back of our mind are thinking, what if we get pulled over? Like, what's going to happen? And it's just, it adds another layer of, like, stress. And anyway, so those are some of, like, the day-to-day stuff that we encounter. Yes, ma'am.
Oh. You want to say something?
Go ahead.
I was just going to ask what life was like for a woman in Senegal. Are you a second-class citizen? Are you an equal? Or?
It's very much a man's world there. The men are the ones hanging out on the side of the road, chatting, hanging out, and the women are the ones cooking and cleaning. So there's no... I feel like it's easier for Sam to create relationships there because men are just always out. It's the women who are in their homes and taking care of the home, or I would say a lot of street vendors there. The women are at the end of our street. There's like a little restaurant. I don't even
food shack. I don't know.
Food shack. I mean, there's no safety and health regulations. There's no one coming to check that things are up to code. People just cook over an open fire and they sell it to anyone who walks by. But those women are all hanging out, and they're washing, and they're cleaning. They have huge mortar pestles that they, you know, grind up their leaves, and so it's harder for me to just go out there and hang out because I don't know what dish do I wash, you know. But I do have. There's a picture there of me with our house helper. Her name is Therese, and she's such an amazing woman. She knows the Lord, but I feel stupid every time I walk out the door. And she's one person who's never made me feel inferior. I mean, there are times I'm like, I have a college degree. Like, I can do this. I mean, she's been so patient with me. I really feel like when a toddler, when you're around your toddler, you know how to understand them. Because you're with them all the time. You know when they say this word, they actually mean this. And you're translating for other people who aren't around them as much. And that's what Therese is for me. She's my translator when I feel like a toddler. Like, I know my needs. I just don't have the way of communicating or expressing that. And we've had some really sweet moments because women there, and men there too, you don't show any emotion other than laughing or
extreme anger.
Wow. And so to show, she lost a child at 3 months old, and it just tore her apart. And so I was able to, you know, give her a little gift on the 1 year anniversary after she lost her child, and she just gave me a huge hug, and that doesn't happen. And she cried with me, and I don't have words. I had Google Translate, and I just said, "A mom knows." And so we got to spend that time together, and we talk about the joie de vie, and that's like the joy of life. And she is just the most exuberant, joyful person. Well, she's gone through a lot of sadness too, and it's just been really sweet. So I don't have a ton of relationships like Sam does with the mechanic and, you know, the guys at the boutique. But Therese, I've gotten to know her, and just a really sweet relationship with her. But for women, it is different. And the culture there is to laugh at other people's expense. And so they love when someone trips and then you laugh at them. You know, it's just, we're always kind of... what's the word? Teasing one another. And so to say that someone is really good at something, to encourage them, to say, "Hey, I saw that you did that. I thought that was really great," that doesn't happen. That's Therese right there. Oh, man, she's so sweet. We call her Tanti because that's how you say aunt in Wolof. So she's Tanti Therese. And then this guy I have to share. This is Pop, our mechanic. Sam will spend time. He parked a bunch of cars. I mean, there's no regulations. You can park wherever you want, whatever time you want, whatever vehicle you want. And so he had the whole street lined with cars, and he's tinkering on this one. His tools are in the bed of this one. And, you know, this is his, you know, wrench car, and that's his spare tire car. But within, like, 6 months, Sam just spent time. He would be the one to teach us Wolof phrases whenever we walked by. Nakalagavi, how's work going? Nanga Dev, how are you doing? Naga Mu, which is what's up. That's kind of like a, once we learned that, we're like, wow, we're really, what's up? You know, like Naga Mu. But we were looking to buy a vehicle, and that's difficult. How do you know prices? How do you, and people in the mission have told us, don't buy a car from a Senegalese person because you never know. I mean, those cars last forever, but you know, they don't even have the right parts in them and all that kind of stuff. So we were looking to buy a car, and Sam was kind of like, what did you say? Live by the sword, die by the sword.
Yep.
Like, if we're going to live here, we need to have someone that can help work on a car. And so Sam would travel around with Pop and pay him for the day to look at different vehicles. And Pop would say, that's not a good car. Don't buy that one. Don't buy that one. Don't buy that one. And there was one time a guy from, not a missionary, but a man that missionaries worked with, called us and said, hey, we've got a vehicle. I'll meet you at the school. And so Sam went over to the school, met this man who spoke English, and brought Pop along. Pop and this guy are talking back and forth. They're like, okay, you know what? We're not going to buy the car. So he took it and drove off. Well, another man happened to walk up, who happened to speak English, and told Sam, you've got a good friend there, because that man just offered to pay him money to tell you it was a good car to buy. And so I just think God has blessed us so much with relationships, because I mean, we really don't know French. But like, for Sam to stand there next to him while he's working on a car, that, I mean, it's a very relational. So I've learned the last 2 years is that a lot of mission work is about relationships. And, I mean, yes, it's good to do, but just to show your presence around people and spend time with them, and it was just, it was such a sweet moment, and yeah.
And we got a car.
We ended up getting a car.
We blessed to get a car, and then
Pops fixed it. And
it kind of broke down with some different things, and they're like, don't let a Senegalese man touch your car. Like, live by the sword, die by the sword. I've trusted Pop this far. And so he fixed it and runs great now. And so, yeah, Pop knows us beyond just... Number one, he likes because I can pay him up front. And usually it's like, we'll get the work done and then I'll pay you. And then they never pay him. And then he's just always waiting for money, right? But with us, it's like, if this is how much it costs, here's the money. Go take the parts and buy whatever. So he likes that aspect of things. But just kind of going back to that relationship side of things, and when they towed all his cars away one night, these big semis came and towed all the cars on the street, every single one of them. And so now what? Like, all his cars are gone. He has to go to the pound, and it's all this process. And we're able to bless him. You know, I gave him some money that morning, and I said, I know what you're going through, and I just kind of handed him some money discreetly. But, you know, that goes back to, that's like an extension of what this body is to us, right? Like, the reason we can be over there and be blessings to others is because of these moments, right, where we feel that encouragement from you guys, that blessing to us, and that you're an extension of what we're a part in Senegal. So definitely appreciate all the support.
What about medical over there if you get sick?
Depends on the severity of it. If it's really, really bad, they'll fly you out to France probably. If it's manageable, then there's adequate health care in the car that, you know, they can probably stabilize you and kind of figure out what you need. So for most medical things, it's probably fine.
We do have to buy antibiotics a lot because, I mean, kids play outside all day. Yeah, so we have an amazing school nurse. I have gone to her quite a few times and said, can you check this out? You know, it's gotten about past the point of it, you know, going away if it was okay, but now I think it's a problem. She's like, yeah, I think you're going to need antibiotics. Just go to the pharmacy. You can buy it for $3. I mean, no insurance, no nothing, just walk in. And she said the pharmacists even have enough knowledge that if you say, I have a rash, you know, they'll look at it and say, oh, here's what you need. So it's different here when you have to make an appointment to receive any kind of health care. It's been really, really great to have a local pharmacy. Yeah, just learning some of the phrases. I mean, we do a lot of pantomiming there, you know. Yeah. We've learned some of the...
Very good at acting. Yeah. Or I just show a picture. I'm like, do you have this? I'm looking for this.
Yes.
So never play charades against y'all.
Right? No. Well, it was funny because one time our son sleptwalked. That was a crazy story. we woke up, it was Christmas Eve, and I went to put the scissors away after wrapping all the gifts, and I saw that our front door was wide open. And I was like, Sam, someone's in. And that's happened quite a bit. A lot of missionaries get stolen from. People break in the middle of the night, take TVs or computers, any of the electronics they can find. And I'm like, someone's in the house. So we go from room to room, and we see that Max is not in his bed. You know, just that fear. So we live on the third floor, and it's the roof terrace above us. And that was my first thought, was he's on the roof. And so we'd gone up there. Luckily, Usman was up there on his phone. And we're like, is Max up here? And he's like, no, I haven't seen him. So that was fine. Turns out Max had walked down our street to the roundabout, down another street in front of the main road. And one of the guards at the restaurant there saw him and realized, this is not right. So he went up to Max, and he was like asking him questions, and it woke Max up. And he thought he was dreaming, because he's like, how did I get here? You're talking to me. I don't understand what's going on. And he told some man that they live in that apartment building, and, you know, walk him home. So by the time we realized Max was missing, went downstairs, and that was our first thought. I was like, where do we go?
Right.
And we saw Max holding this man's hand, aww, walking back to our house. Wow. And so the Lord, I was like, he's like a guardian angel, honestly. Because we see people in our neighborhood every day. I mean, we're always walking past them, and we've never seen this man before. And then it was the next day that Sam happened to see him. And the guy came up to him and was like, and we're like, ugh. He's yelling. I'm like, why are you letting your kids walk the street at night? And that's when Sam's trying to pantomime sleepwalking. He's like,
I don't know how he's going to sleepwalking in front.
Right, we have no contact, yeah. So after that, he's like, oh, okay. But it's just definitely one of those cultures where people look out for one another. And praise the Lord for that. So
we close, we lock the doors now.
Well, we have another lock that's
further.
We have
a higher lock. But we hadn't gone, like, we usually, before we go to bed, I go walk around and just lock a couple doors or whatever. And it was Christmas Eve, so we were just wrapping presents and... Mm-hmm. Yeah, so at least God protected us on that one. Yes, question?
What's it like for the kids?
Yeah. Yeah, so that's been one of the biggest blessings that we've experienced, is how well our kids have transitioned overseas. We didn't really know what that was going to be like. We flew in on like a Wednesday, and then we got into the car around 12 or like 2 o'clock, and then we had an orientation at 5 o'clock that same day. And we just got to our home, dropped our bags off, took a nap, showered, woke up. And then our kids went to school and haven't looked back since then. So that Wednesday, they met a couple friends at school, and it was history. They love the school. It's actually like a punishment when we tell them they can't stay after school. Like, you've been making bad choices, you don't get the privilege of staying after school. Like, that to them is just agonizing. Yeah. Because all of our friends and everyone that we know, basically, like, the school is that hub. And so as soon as school's out, I mean, they want to be there at 7 because their friends get there early, and they are there till 6 because we are coaching, after school activities or whatever. So from like 8 to 6, they're at school every single day. From 3, they have a recess, they have a lunch, and then from 3:15 until 6, they're just playing. So they love being there. They've had some really good teachers. They love their classmates. So again, we've been blessed because the transition's been smooth. It hasn't been like that. I don't know what that is. For everyone, unfortunately, some families have, you know, their kids have struggled a bit more transitioning. But for our kids, it's been a seamless transition. So they were excited to be back. We could tell just from conversations we were having with them. And then it's just interesting to see them compare differences between way of life in Senegal and here and things like that. So Camilla was like, I can't wait to go to Pizza Rocket in the States. I was like, Camilla, they don't have Pizza Rocket in the States. Like, so just those kind of like funny little moments that they have. But yeah, they've loved it there for sure. And Leo's starting school this year as well. So he's basically at school all day anyways. We joke that he's like the school mascot, because wherever we go, people love Leo. And so, yeah, it's just been, we don't live on campus, which is another blessing. We live maybe like half a block, if that. When we walk outside our gate, we can see the school wall. But it's that close enough that I can stay late if I have to for youth group or whatever. But it gives us that space to then come home. And so that's just been a blessing as well. Yeah, question.
So how are the kids doing the language? Can I translate for you soon?
They take French once a day. Like it's part of their school routine. They take French. They're pretty shy with it, honestly. Max has... We put him in a Senegalese soccer team. So he's... Wednesdays and Saturdays he does that, and it's just kids that don't have anything to do with DA. So that's a bit overwhelming for him at times, because the coach is yelling at him and he doesn't know what's going on. But it's a good experience for him just to be doing something different. But they're not super pumped about trying to master French. So again, it's not a massive need for them, you know. If we were like just outside the walls a lot, then I think they'd have to realize that they really do need to figure it out. But they say hello and whatnot, but they're super shy about. And that's one of the things my wife hinted at, but like you lose a lot of your independence when you leave a country that you know. And I'm like, I'm 32, I can drive, I can go do all these things. And then you're there and you're like a toddler. You know, like you lose all of that. And so it's good to wrestle through those things of like, and even coming here, just saying like, Lord, why did I yearn for this place so much? And is that a healthy yearning to desire the securities and comforts that are given here? Because we're blessed with those things. And so just that tension of living in that is good sometimes as well. But yeah, any other questions? Yes.
What is the status of Christians in Senegal? Are they persecuted by the majority?
Fortunately, no. It's an open country. It's a very welcoming country. There's Catholics, there's Christians, there's Muslims. 98% is Muslim. So that's what kind of dictates the pace of the day. You hear the calls to prayer, and they put their mats out on the ground, and they're praying five times a day and things like that. So the Muslim holidays dictate life, too, a little bit. But there's presidential elections coming up in February, and that could change the climate a little bit depending on who gets elected. There's talk that the person that could come in could be a little bit more stringent with Muslim beliefs, and so we might see some. But Senegal has also been one of the most stable countries in West Africa. It's gone through the least amount of like civil wars and kind of things like that, so that's a good thing. It's just given it good stability. So in that regard, it's a blessing to live there. So if you leave the Muslim religion, that's when it's really bad. So it's okay for you to be a Christian, like that's your thing. But if you leave the Muslim faith to be another religion, that's when the persecution happens. And so we have. Our French teacher that teaches Max and Camilla left his Muslim religion and became a Christian, and his uncle tried to kill him. Like, not like, I'm going to kill you. He literally tried to kill him. So that, in that sense, it's very real. To leave the Muslim, because you don't become a Muslim. Like, you're born a Muslim. That's who you are. They're not like, oh, what religion do you want to do or be? Or it's like, we're all Muslims. That's it. You know, there's no options here. And so it's been really neat to see the Lord do some things with his family. His sister became a Christian. Then his mom became a Christian. And now his dad isn't a Christian, but they've reconciled. You know, there's peace there. He's amicable with his son. But it comes at a cost in those environments to be a Christian. Because you're leaving all of your resources, basically. You're isolating yourself now. My wife will know the name of the podcast. Shoot. My wife.
Maybe that's
yeah. So when she comes back, we'll ask her. But if you like podcasts, There's a really cool podcast. Oh, there you are. What's the name of that podcast about the Muslim?
Yes.
Shoot.
It's called the Maverick Podcast.
Maverick Podcast.
It's put on by Pioneers Missions.
Yeah, and it's just a storytelling and narrating of someone that left the Muslim faith and what God's doing in some of these closed countries. Because there's a lot of things that God's doing to bring people to Himself in some of these areas. So dreams and visions and things like that. It's really cool to hear these stories. So the Maverick Podcast, if you are interested in listening to it, it's really, really encouraging to hear that.
I will share, we have some friends who have a ministry with, did you talk about the Tally Babies yet?
No.
They minister specifically to young street boys who are sent out by the Islamic faith to beg for money. And they're really young boys. It's really sad. Anyway, they have partnered with a local school. And while they were there, one of the high school students asked our friend, his name is Stefan, for his WhatsApp number so that they could chat if they ever wanted to. And a couple months went by, and he called him out of the blue, and he said, hey, can I come see you? And he said, yeah, come on over, I'm free. So he came over to the house, and he said that he had a dream about living water. And Stefan told him, like, do you know that you just quoted the Bible to me? And he's like, what? I can't believe I just said that. And so Stefan was able to show him in John 4, talking about the living water, and able to share the gospel with him. And I think so many times we feel like, you know, sharing the gospel is up to us, but God doesn't need us. He just needs us to be available and willing to listen, and it's just neat to see how God works all on his own, and we just get to watch it unfold.
I'll share one more story. There's a sixth grader that started at DA. He came from a Hindu family, so his parents are, you know, Hindu, and he decided to become a Christian. And so we started kind of like shepherding him through the Bible teacher and things like that. And they found a Bible that was translated in his language, so they gave him a Bible. His parents found that Bible, and they tore it up. Like, you know, you can't, this is not allowed here. They came to school and they said, we want our kid out of Bible class, like something's going on. We said, well, it's not an option. Like, you have to switch schools if you don't want Bible class. So they were like, okay, fine, he can still be here. So, you know, he's been there, he was there last semester, and then this past spring, he showed up to school one day and his head was shaved. And so we were like, hey, what's going on? You got a haircut? He said, well, kind of, but basically they got all his family together and they shamed him. In front of everyone for being a Christian, and because he won't like take it back, you know. So he still wants to be a Christian. So that's part of the reason that we're there, is to come alongside these students. We had two parents be baptized this spring just because of their children coming to DA, and they became Christians, and that led mom and dad to then enter into Christian circles and have Christian friends who mentored them and discipled them, and then they decided to become Christian and be baptized. So there, it's just really cool to see what God's doing through our school, through what we're a part of. Obviously, we give Him all the glory for that. But those are just small stories and glimpses into kind of why we're there at DA. And kids are kids. They have the same needs that kids have here in the States. We had a student attempt suicide this past spring on campus. And so we were able to be there during that situation and come alongside the other siblings and just kind of walk through that situation with them. So, you know, we have the same struggles that kids are having here, the effects of social media, peer pressure, all that stuff is still very prevalent overseas. Nothing magical happens when we get on the plane. We're still broken and in need of redemption and grace. So we just get to be a part of that. Any other questions?
We better relieve our child care people outside, so let's take a few minutes to pray for them, and I will close it down. Thank you so much.
Father, what a delight it is to hear about the church in Senegal and how you're using these two people and the other group that you have just are bound together. Thank you, Father, for your Holy Spirit there working among and through them to really bring light into this place. Thank you for the relationships that they are creating, for the lives that they are touching. And Father, I pray that these relationships would bear fruit, and that these people would come to see the light of Christ that's in Sam and Olivia. So I pray, Father, that truly your Holy Spirit would direct this, their being there, their coming and their going. Just things, that the language is a barrier, but thank you, Jesus, that love knows no barriers, and your Holy Spirit can kind of go through, doesn't have to have a language. And I pray that you would use them, Father, in a mighty way. Thank you for them.
I just pray that you would bless them in their daily life, God. You would just be with them, strengthening them, encouraging, holding, Lord, just hemming them in, ahead and behind, and all around, Lord, both of them and their children, God. Just even all these things we take for granted, Lord, being able to easily communicate with people and being able to carry out the simple tasks of daily life, Lord. I just pray that you would help them and give them just smooth paths and all of that, Lord. Thank you for these examples that they've shared of how you have provided abundantly in such situations and circumstances to do that, Lord. Lord, just pray for relationships, Lord. Pray for friendships, God. We pray for that you would just continue to place others in their life, God, that would be an encouragement to them, as they are so much encouraging others, Lord, but that you would surround them with specific people, Lord, that would even be a surprise to them, God, that would help them as they have those feelings of friendship and love and others caring for them, God.
Thank you so much for the joy of hearing what's happening all over the world in your kingdom, and the blessing that it is that we have fellowship one with another wherever we are, because we gather in your name. I do pray that you bless them, that you continue to give them and help, that you continue to set up all connections for them. We just thank you for the chance to know about this experience, and thank you for what you're doing in that school. Meeting their needs, bless them in Jesus' name.
And we just pray, Father, for the angry people, they need to soften their hearts and let them know that their relation to God. Show them the things that they have yet to teach them. They will meet people, they will meet them in a different way than they did, as it says, talking to them, show them the love and protection that God and Jesus has for all of us. And protect them and the children, and bring them more than the things available. So then, see that they make a difference here. Things are going to be better. God has sent them there for a reason. He's not going to fail them. He's not going to fail the people to understand that they can understand that they're so he will just be there. God will be this year, but he will be here for a few hours. And we just pray for their protection and their own time. So this is what they need, and bless the ground that they walk on. Bless them at night when they lie down in peace and sleep, and show them that all the peace they can accept these things of you. In the name of Jesus Christ. Thank you.
Lord, we do thank you for Sam and Olivia and their willingness to go to Senegal. I do pray you bless their work in the school, bless their work in the community, among their neighbors, bless their play too. Thank you that they and their kids have entered into the culture around the place and just really loving people and building relationships. I do pray for the young people in that school, Lord. As Sam said, it's a crazy world with the school shouting, with this world shouting into their lives, Lord, and the church cannot be silent. The church must equip them to not just deal with the world or get by, but to actually be active agents of light, life and light, to bring healing and hope to a world suffering. So I pray you greatly bless their endeavors. And I pray you bless the rest of their time here in the States, that they will find time to rest. Also help them as they get out the word to others about what they're doing there. I pray you provide their need as they try to raise support. And just bless them in every way as they spend time with family. Lord, may it just be a time of great refreshing. We thank you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.
Again, thank you so much for the opportunity, and thank you for having us here in our hearts. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Somewhere.
I specifically did. She was like, what the fuck?